Next on BYUSN, day two, live from T-Mobile Center in Kansas City for the men of Big 12 basketball. BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young will preview the start of his season and share what he really thinks about being picked to finish ninth in that preseason coaches poll.
Big man Foos and sharpshooter Trevin Nell are on the desk talking about expectations in year two of the Big 12 with the new staff. And despite being 7-0 and number 11 in the AP poll, why is BYU football right back to being an underdog against UCF? What happened?
Here we go again. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Wednesday, October 23rd to all of you. I am Spencer Linton alongside Kansas City tour guide Jerem Jordan.
It's day two at Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Hoping we play some pickup in these jerseys at some point. Jokingly with some of the players from BYU around, looking forward to talking to them later. Said, hey, look, here are your new jerseys. Like, wait, what? It's better than Tradition, Spirit, and Honor on the back. But excited to be here for Men's Basketball Media Day. Tons of buzz. We're in visitors' locker room here. We just walk out the hall and go in the courts right there. You got all the mascots. You got the press conference.
There's a notable buzz today.
Absolutely. There was a good buzz yesterday, obviously, with the nation's top men's basketball conference in the country. A lot of media here today. So we're looking forward to rubbing shoulders with everybody.
Some quick headlines before we get to an interesting what's trending, beginning with this. Number 11 BYU football practiced yesterday ahead of Saturday's showdown at UCF. They'll travel to Orlando tomorrow. So for the second week in a row now, BYU running back LJ Martin has been named an Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award National Player of the Week. Honorable mention, very cool for LJ.
Men's golf remains in first place, holding a 4-shot lead after day two of the Leadership in Golf Collegiate. Simon Kwan is atop the leaderboard entering the final round in Monterey, California. And congratulations to women's cross country, the new number one ranked team in the land.
It should be.
In the USTF CCCA poll. We couldn't have more letters, I guess, than that. After winning the Wisconsin pre-nationals last weekend, men's team still number two behind Oklahoma State, also of the Big 12.
You know what's interesting about the women is Dilgea Taylor said, we didn't even really run our best, and they won the pre-nationals.
They beat the other top four teams in the country, though.
So all five of BYU scores finished in the top 35, but number one runner was ninth. So interesting. Not our best, but still number one in the country.
You don't have to be, the best per se. You just have to be better than everyone on that day.
And they were.
That's what sports are.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We have to go into it with eight. We just have to win this game no matter what.
Be fooled by the little slide they're on. They have lost four in a row, but dangerous team.
We have to find ways to stop the run.
It's a one-week season every week.
Yes, it is game week for BYU football in the midst of the basketball media madness here in Kansas City. And wouldn't you know that once again, BYU is playing the role of underdog. Yes, the Cougars started as a 2-point favorite or got up to that. I believe the expectations were initially BYU was a 1-point favorite, climbed to 2, but now they are, according to most experts, a 1.5-point underdog, Jerem, against UCF. Straight up, why do you think that even though BYU is 7-0, they have been perfect through seven games, they are the number 11 team in the country, top of the Big 12, they are still an underdog against 3-4 UCF.
Normally, this kind of swing would be because there was some big injury, but there's no indication that that's the case with BYU. They suddenly realized after looking at the way UCF played Iowa State and the way BYU played Oklahoma State that, well, actually, UCF should be the favorite in this game. I don't think so. UCF is a good team on a weird spell right now. And they played a very tough schedule. The teams that UCF has played in the Big 12 are very good. So it's not like they're losing to some of the worst teams.
No, it's Colorado and Iowa State and teams that are on burners
good,
right now.
Good teams. I dare say very good teams. So I honestly don't know. I can't tell why BYU would be a dog on the road against a team that has lost four in a row. I respect UCF a lot. Like, I look at them more like they're a 4-3 team. Where
they shouldn't have lost
5-2-ish. They could very easily be in that space.
They shouldn't have lost that game to Iowa State.
No. Should have won that game. And they played them better than anyone else has played them all year. Even Iowa in the Cyhawks. So, I don't know, dude. I'm weirded out by this one. What do you think?
Yeah, it's strange. I'm not sure what BYU has to do to be favored in a game like this, but yet here we are talking once again about BYU being an underdog. I know that the two time zone thing matters, and it's difficult.
BYU historically in Florida, but they've won the last two in Florida.
So, again, like, and that doesn't necessarily weigh into what this team is capable of.
UCF was one of those two wins, by the way.
Yes.
In 2020.
In Boca Raton.
Yeah. Weird year.
Do you believe that BYU is a different team than they have been going to the East Coast in the past, statistically speaking? And again, I've said it a number of times. This has been a team of trend breaking. This is the team that has been doing things that other BYU teams have not been able to do and pull out victories. So it's weird, but I like it. I like the emotional aspect
of it. Another thing for BYU to be like, yo, they still don't believe.
They still don't think
we
that we are as good as our record would indicate. Yep. And they're not buying into BYU clearly.
I do think it should be BYU, but like by one score.
Close.
Like in that range. It shouldn't be BYU by 8+.
Recency bias is the thing.
I guess 9+.
Right? You went into it the way that UCF played at Iowa State. And again, it was at Iowa State.
Yeah, tough place to play.
Let that slip away. Up 8 late in the game and let it slip away. And then what Oklahoma State did specifically running the ball against BYU's defense. BYU's defense looked pedestrian for the first time all season.
Yep.
It was a struggle for sure. And specifically slowing down Ollie Gordon. And here comes RJ Harvey, who is that level of running back that BYU will face in back-to-back weeks. So maybe people just don't think that BYU has the ability to stop an elite running back and an elite rushing attack.
It is funny that BYU beat Kansas State by 29 and Arizona by 22, and people were like, no.
It's just lucky. Lucky. Is it?
Wait, no, they created those turnovers. Like, what?
Were those just, like, given to them?
Sorry, 12 interceptions from 10 different people isn't enough for you? Like, what? BYU's not blowing people out and showing explosive offense, which typically is the mark of, like, an elite team. Like, Oregon gets that vibe, right? Oh, they're number one. They did this. They have the best, one of the best wins in the country, beating Ohio State, right? But if when you have an elite defense and your offense is good, you don't get the same sort of perception, right? And that's what BYU has, a good to very good offense, and they have a very good to great defense to me. So that sort of flavor of football isn't as well received by, say, pollsters in Vegas,
sure,
in my opinion.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that UCF isn't capable of beating BYU.
They can
very
absolutely
much
beat BYU
are
this
capable
week
of beating BYU.
I hope not to see it.
They are a good team. But it's just, what is the expectation?
Right.
And the expectation now is that BYU is an underdog.
Which is weird. So let's move to the next question. Do you expect a similar type game against UCF as we saw against Oklahoma State, given the run prowess of the Knights?
We know what UCF is going to do. Like, every team that UCF has played in Big 12 competition knows what they want to do, which is establish the run and do so with a quarterback who can get after it in the run game, and then he's got
Ja'Kari Brown,
one of the best running backs in the country, in RJ Harvey.
Yeah.
And I know Ja'Kari Brown had his struggles throwing the ball.
8 of 20
last
year.
He's not great and hasn't been great in limited reps throwing, but they're not going to try and do that. They run to set up an occasional big pass down the field.
They run to set up more run. They just want
67%.
They run on 67%
of their plays are run plays. 2/3 of every play is a run play for UCF. So they're not going to change that. Do I expect that BYU will struggle the way they did against Oklahoma State? No, because I think BYU will make adjustments. It was a significant wake-up call, but that doesn't mean UCF can't still run for 200+.
I think UCF will run for 200+. It's just whether it's 250 or 300.
If you get into that territory, then it gets very weird for BYU.
Yeah, BYU can hold them sub 200 in any form. It's not going to be sub 100 or 150.
No!
It's not going to happen. They want to run. Okay, I do expect a game like we saw Friday. I expect a game in the 30s where the offense has to make some plays late. I expect a similar game. Defense needs a few takeaways to mitigate extra scores.
And that's how UCF got in trouble against Colorado, is they turned the ball over. Because we were like, how did Colorado go into Orlando and do that? They just kept turning the ball over.
They also outran UCF.
which is wild.
Could BYU outrun UCF?
Colorado is one of the worst rushing teams in the country, and they outran UCF.
That was wild.
Okay, weird game.
UCF, number two in runs of 10-plus and 20-plus. R.J. Harvey, sixth at 127 a game, 6.7 yards per carry. Can L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati offset Ja'Kari Brown and R.J. Harvey? Can Jake Retzlaff get in the run game? Can BYU, who is plus like 2 minutes in possession against its opponents, can they control the clock a little bit here? Can BYU get a lead where UCF has to pass a little bit? That may change
things. Yes.
Can you do that on the road and walk out with a one-plus point win? I don't care if BYU wins by whatever. Just win by one and be 8-0. I don't care how it happens. I don't care what it looks like. I'd take 2-0.
Win at all is now beating the odds.
Right?
A win at all is beating
the
odds.
You cover if you win. We'll see what it is in the next couple days if it changes. But I would take a win in any fashion.
BYU will stack the box for sure, and they will display their coverages and their run blitzes. Jay Hill and Kalani Sitake are in the over-preparation mode. They said so as much to me. Those are their words, like, "Nut, the time is now to over-prepare." And they got the wake-up call.
As if they weren't already.
They got the wake-up call against Oklahoma State. So there will be some nuances and some things that are thrown in against UCF. I get really concerned if UCF is able to hit a home run play or two, specifically in the pass game. That, too, could make it very, very weird, because that's where they have really struggled, speaking of the Knights.
Yeah, if UCF can hit home runs in the run game, I mean, R.J. Harvey, he's a home run running back. Like, the dude could score on any play.
NFL back, for sure. All right, how about this? Greg Wrubell posted yesterday on X a total of 7 UCF players who have already played 3 or 4 games a season are sitting out the remainder of the season, redshirting, and entering the transfer portal. They include a starting wide receiver, kickoff returner, punt returner, starting place kicker, a reserve offensive lineman, reserve defensive lineman, reserve linebacker, and 2 reserve defensive backs. That's a significant number.
Yep.
Jeremy, what do you make of this specifically, and will it have any impact on Saturday's game?
These guys aren't having a massive impact on this season, hence the redshirt or bouncing situation for all these guys. So not a big deal to me in terms of how it impacts BYU in this game. How it impacts UCF, certainly there's an impact on the season. They're 3-4 and wondering, well, could these guys have helped us, or are they leaving because they didn't help us? I don't know. All I know is BYU's not going to face these guys coming up Saturday.
I don't think it'll have an impact on this game. It does give me pause to question what is happening in that locker room. It's not a great look.
Does that affect the BYU game?
And does that somehow emotionally carry over with an already frustrated team who has been in a bunch of games and have not been able to close them out? Like, is there any emotional hangover from the disappointment and Ames for UCF now coming back home to face BYU? Or can they be disciplined and flush that down and just get ready for BYU? So I am interested to see how UCF starts the game, what the emotions are like going into the game, because it's hard when you are so close so often and not winning games. That is hard to overcome. And it's a 6-point loss to Cincinnati and then a 3-point loss at Iowa State that they are coming off of most recently. That's tough to overcome.
Yeah, like we could be 5-2.
Yes.
In the mix.
That quick.
In the mix. They expected to compete for a Big 12 title this year. They have so much talent, by the way.
Oh, Gus Malzahn.
They are underperforming.
He talked about it at length during our interview with him at Big 12 media.
Houston and UCF, 0 excuses to struggle in football. You are surrounded by talent. Holy mackerel.
Our question of the day, why do you think BYU is still an underdog at UCF in spite of being 7-0 and number 11 in the country?
It's weird.
It is weird.
And I'm fine with it.
At Alpine Casey on X says, BYU showed that they can be beaten in the run game, and they have to travel east for a road game against a very good running team. Tough to win.
It is tough to win. This is a tough situation. BYU's got to show up.
BF Webster on X says, oh, correction, we'll get to that in just a moment. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you missed After Further Review or BYU Football with Kalani Sitake featuring Caleb Etienne, you can check him out right now, on demand on BYUSN.com or the free BYU TV app.
Hey, let's talk hoops, huh? Our first interview of the day from Big 12 Basketball Media Days is none other than BYU head coach Kevin Young. What does he really think about being picked to finish 9th in this loaded league? And what has him most excited about getting to play another team? Stay with us.
Excitement in the community. But, I mean, they're eager to learn.
You guys know exactly what we want them to do on both sides.
We are live from Big 12 Basketball Media Days at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and we now welcome in the head basketball coach at BYU, Kevin Young, is back on the show. Coach, welcome to Kansas City.
What's up, Kevin?
What's up, guys? Appreciate it.
Hey, I mentioned to you a moment ago, we got the snack table over here for you. Mm-hmm. So just feel free. If you're getting thirsty or hungry at any point during the interview, you can just get up and go grab what you want. This is a BYU show. This is a BYU production for you. A
lot of good snacks over there. I'll have to dive into that.
Yeah, you told us when you went to your first Big 12 meeting, you felt like an imposter and it was weird. You know, how are you feeling now that you've had a few months on the gig?
Still feel like that a little bit, but you know, in-house things are good. You know, it's acclimating to, you know, the league and just college basketball in general will definitely be, I think, a year-long adjustment for me.
The blue-white game happened not too long ago, and obviously it's always interesting to see what your guys do when they turn on the bright lights and they're in front of some fans. So what do you feel that you learned maybe about your team in that scenario, and what did you like that you saw there?
I mean, the consistent theme all along has been just the competitive spirit of the group. You know, I thought that was on display there. I think, you know, in our environment with that many fans even being there, you know, for that scrimmage, I think our guys – was kind of their first time under the bright lights, even though it wasn't a real game. I thought just how guys responded to just that in general, I thought just the chemistry I thought was on display. You know, I've been happy with how much we've been moving the ball. You know, those are things we've been harping on from day one. So those were kind of the standouts for me.
And then there was a scrimmage on Saturday that we don't talk about, but it happened. And then in a week you play one more and then you get going. How you feeling like less than 2 weeks out from the season now of, okay, we're about to actually play games that matter?
Excited. You know, it's and I've said this a bunch of late, especially just the difference between how much you practice in college versus the NBA. And so I just, you know, I know I'm tired of going against each other in practice. I know I'm sure the players are as well. So that's, I think that's the biggest thing, just be able to, you know, play somebody with a different jersey on, you know, that doesn't know everything you're doing and vice versa. It's hard to, I think it's hard to gauge really, you know, where we are in terms of just going against the same thing every day. So looking forward to, you know, competing against somebody else.
Speaking of the NBA, it started last night. What are the emotions like as you, for the first time in a long time, aren't in that circle?
Yeah. Strange. You know, even a few nights ago, I was watching the Suns preseason game and
yeah,
just kind of watching that from a different viewpoint was weird. I actually called a few of their, like James Jones the next morning. We were having a laugh about it. And then, was texting, sent a little family group message to Book of, you know, my kids and wife wishing him well this season. And, you know, he hit me back with some, you know, I could tell he's been following what we were doing with some of the stuff we were talking about. So that was cool. I mean, those are lifelong relationships for sure. But, you know, there's definitely things I'll miss about it, but there's some plenty of other things that I'm super excited about here as well.
BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young is on BYU Sports Nation. We talk often about the nerves of the players. And again, these college guys, some of them are very young and they do feel the nerves. But this is your first go around as a head coach. So what type of emotions and nerves do you feel now that you step into this head coaching role?
Yeah, I just think the uncertainty. You know, I mean, in the NBA, you know, you kind of know what to expect. You know what styles are. You know what most coaches are going to do. You know who the good players are. And so there's just a lot more familiarity, I think. And so I think, you know, the unknown oftentimes can kind of get you a little churned up inside. And so for me, I think I'll feel that way most of the season, honestly, until I get a full year under my belt. But, you know, we're lucky to have guys that have been in this league before. You know, we got some guys that are returning with some great experience. And so I'll rely on those guys heavily to kind of help us navigate it here in year one.
How do you handle this today with the other coaches? Is game face on? Do you let loose a little bit? How are you going to handle this?
I'll just kind of see how it comes. I mean, you know, got to know a handful of these guys, you know, this summer here and there. And, you know, most everybody was cool. So, you know, I don't know. I don't really look too much into that stuff. It's just we all have a job to do, and we're here to do that job, and look forward to competing against those guys.
Do you have any relationships already with anybody in the league here?
Just here and there, you know. Just basketball world's pretty small, I think, as we all know. And so there's I've had friends that have worked for different guys, and there's different guys and organizations that I've worked with that I've had ties, and guys have come in and visited and stuff like that. And you know, my brother Justin, who's now on staff, he knows all these guys as well, and so he's kind of giving me the inside scouting report
on some. He would. That's awesome.
Coaches, but man, I mean, the coaching world in general, just a big fraternity. I think everyone has great respect for how hard these jobs are, and so I've definitely felt that.
You've talked about that line between college and NBA is like a little thinner than you thought. Like, it's just one big pot of basketball mm-hmm. coaches, as opposed to like you're over here, we're over here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it goes back to just how small the basketball world is. Everybody knows everybody, really, at the end of the day. And so look forward to kind of learning, some of these guys a little bit more on a friendly level, as opposed to kind of from afar.
Coach, I'm glad you brought up Justin, because that's such a unique dynamic that you get to be on the staff with your brother. So what's that relationship like, and how do you see it evolving and obviously helping you in the future?
Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy who, he just knows everyone in basketball, honestly. And so just a great resource, not just for me, but for our entire staff. I just kind of use him as a sounding board. You know, I kind of like the vantage point that he brings, you know, not necessarily being a coach, but just having an eye for, talent, and he's done it forever. And, you know, it's cool to have him in our corner. But for me, it's really just being able to, you know, just kind of use him as almost like a consultant, be able to just kind of pick his brain on things that he's seeing. So it just gives us a different viewpoint.
By the way, I heard from an admin that the Young family has a tradition with fantasy football, and that this is a thing. So while we're talking about brothers,
who's leading right now?
Yeah, who's winning the league right now?
A couple bad injuries this past week. So I got my two boys, Jude and Van, involved in fantasy in a separate league that I'm also in with them. And so last Sunday, I kid you not, from about 11 a.m. till about 8 p.m., I was just fielding trade questions the entire day. Yeah, should we trade for this guy? And so that's become a high maintenance thing that I didn't expect. But no, it's fun, man. We are a big, huge sports family. We love all sports, and so it's fun to do that league with my brothers, and then getting my boys and my wife's now kind of really questioning the whole thing.
Let's go!
But it's been fun.
Preseason polls have to exist. BYU picked ninth. How do you take that information?
I don't take it any way, honestly. I don't know how to respond to that. I've been asked that a bunch. Like, I don't really even pay much attention to it. I think if anything, it's like, it's just, I think we're a question mark in a lot of people's minds. So whether that's wherever that puts us in the poll, so be it. But, you know, I don't think we've talked about it once internally. We just try to do what we're going to do and get better every day and focus on the things that we can control. And, we'll see what happens when the games get played.
Obviously, everyone very excited about the new pieces led by Yegor Demin and Cannon Catchings. But a consistent theme and a consistent player I keep hearing about from those that are watching practice is Richie Saunders. So what is Richie doing to earn the respect of his teammates? And how have you seen him specifically evolve? Because, like I said, his name keeps coming up in conversations I'm having about BYU basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy I think it's hard not to root for and to like. He just... and respect, more importantly, I think, just how hard he goes and everything that he does. You know, I think his teammates have really appreciated that. I know I have as the head coach, and so is the rest of our staff. You know, I think he's offensively, he's really bought into, like, our style of play. He's being very efficient, making quick decisions. But he just gets after it, man. He just is you guys know that, but I think he's maybe even taking it to another level is kind of what it feels like for me. But he's just been awesome.
While this will evolve during the season, do you have a lineup you feel good about a week out from the first public exhibition?
Yeah, I mean, I think things are, and I've said this all along, I mean, that's been a hot button. I think I've been asked that a lot, probably more than any other question. But, things have a way of kind of crystallizing, you know, in terms of, and again, for me, I don't look at it as a five-man deal. I look at it as you know, what lineup combinations can we mess around with and feel most comfortable with. So I think that more than anything is what's become more clear for me in terms of who we want to pair with who. And then, you know, how does that impact who starts? How does that impact who comes off the bench? How does that impact who you end the game with and things like that? So I think one of the things I like about our team is I do think we have a fair amount of versatility. We can go in a lot of different directions. And, you know, had a coaching friend that was at practice yesterday that just talked about just our skill level. He was really complimentary of our skill level. So I think we got guys who can dribble, pass, and shoot kind of across the board, and that kind of gives us you know, a lot of flexibility, but also I think can make us really hard to guard no matter who's out there.
Coach, we appreciate the time and your busy schedule. I know you don't do media every day like you do in the NBA, but you still have to do quite a bit, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks for hanging out.
Well, I got my eye on the snack bar over there. So
you getting any barbecue while you're here?
I would love, in fact, one of my brothers, he was giving me he's the barbecue scout. Dude, Justin does the basketball. I have another brother who's nice. The barbecue scout.
That's important.
It's huge. So if I grab any, maybe I'll try to bring some over to you guys as well. Oh,
thank you. Appreciate
Coach,
it.
Coach, we appreciate it. And good luck to your fantasy football team, too.
Yeah, good luck.
Most importantly.
Come on. Yeah. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for that.
There we go. There we go.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Hey, okay. Game day on Saturday for BYU football at UCF. Big-time stuff. 1:30 Eastern time. We got the pregame show on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Game on ESPN and BYU Radio at 3:30 Eastern. And, of course, the postgame on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Big day for Cougar football.
After the break, big duo from this BYU men's basketball team. Foose Traore and Trevin Nell join us. What did they learn that they're going to carry over from year one of the Big 12 into this new opportunity? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Awesome. I mean, I'm super excited for this year. I'm excited to play again with these guys.
Better than I thought. Low, down low, right? He gets it down there.
Welcome back to Big 12 Basketball Media Days at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. Joining us now are a dynamic duo of that returning core from BYU Men's Hoops. They are Trevin Nell and Foose Traore. Good to have you gentlemen back on set. Thanks for hanging out with us.
What's up, homies?
How's it going?
How are you guys doing?
It's great. Not as good as you guys. You guys fly in and out of this thing? Private jet? How's that life, Foose?
That's actually nice.
Yeah.
Hey, well-earned, well-deserved. Okay, this is obviously year two of Big 12 basketball, and now that you've traversed it, you two specifically, you have this experience that you have gained. So what are you sharing with the newcomers that have not played Big 12 basketball that you learned from year one? That's a question for both of you. To start with you, Trevin, what are you sharing with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've already talked to some of the guys, especially the freshmen, just about how physical the Big 12 really is. There's a lot of really high-level athletes, but the physicality is really, you know, probably the best in the nation in terms of conferences. So when we get some freshmen that complain about some fouls or something like that, I'll be like, hey, you have no idea what's coming. So they take our criticism and, you know, our veteran status, I guess, to another level, and they respect it. So it's been really fun to help the young guys out.
Yeah, Foose, what's the message to the new guys?
Like the same thing you should have said, you know, like toughness, you know. Like last year when we started playing Big 12, and you know, I said, man, this is not easy, actually, you know, like everybody's a dog here, there, you know. So we just trying to tap them a little bit, you know, like it's just not going to be easy, you know.
UCF, continue.
Yeah, he's just going to be actually like tough, you know. Yeah.
UCF really stuck out. 78 combined fouls and 96 free throws in those two games. Those were crazy ones, right? They lasted forever?
No, it was, that was crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the first time I got in double figures for free throws. So.
Who doesn't want 96 combined free throws in one game?
It tells it everything.
I complained on the postgame show. I was like, what are we doing? This basketball was terrible. But you guys went to the free throw line and won. Okay, it's year two, yet it's a new Big 12. You got four new teams in the Pac-12. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma are out. What are you expecting in another new-look Big 12 this year?
Man, I feel like it's just going to be the same thing. You know, like I feel like all the – you say we got four new team now. I feel like we're all tough too, you know. Like, we're just gonna be dealing with the same thing, you know. Be ready every night. Like, just go to fight. It's gonna be a dog fight every night.
Yeah, I'll just echo exactly what Foose said. I remember we would be up, you know, 17, and we'd be up 10-plus points multiple times in the Big 12, and all of a sudden, with the last 5 minutes, I look up, and it's a one-point game.
No lead is safe.
No lead is safe in the Big 12.
Texas Tech stick out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, no lead is safe, and every team that's coming in here, I think, is going to realize that really quick, that, you know, you have to play as hard as you can for 40 straight minutes. There's no, you know, playing 38 minutes and 2 minutes rest, because then all of a sudden it's a 2-point game, you know. So, yeah, I think the teams that are coming here are great. They're going to be really athletic, really high-level teams, and they deserve to be here, and we're excited to play them.
Trevin, you're the shot doctor, and so I don't know what's happening, but apparently Foos has become a 3-point shooter now.
Blow up my game.
You don't shoot many, Foos, but you just you make the ones that you take, brother. Yeah. Has Trevin helped you in this regard?
Trevin actually been helping me.
No, I haven't.
Trevin and Darren Hall, because I called Darren Hall Steph Curry, you know. And they usually call me Derek Steph Curry. You know, so.
Foos is the next Steph Curry? Let's go.
Oh, man.
Are you excited to play Cincinnati, by the way, after 9 threes last year?
I'm pumped. I'm pumped to play them at their place this time.
Yes.
So it'll be really fun to – I heard their arena is insane. Every Big 12 arena is pretty intense, so it's going to be fun to play there, and I'm excited to play them.
And you didn't talk about this publicly, and you're not making excuses, but I know that you had a foot injury last year, and you didn't shoot well down the stretch. How's the foot?
It feels a lot better. When we finally got done, I pulled all my ligaments in my foot. And so it was definitely something to deal with both physically and mentally. But it's been a lot better throughout the summer and right now. So I'm really excited to hit the ground running, knock on wood, all healthy. So everything's going to be good.
That's good news.
Yeah, getting healthy, a big part of BYU's success moving forward. And not only will it help you feel better, but you obviously have worked on different things in your own personal games over the summer. So, again, another question for both of you, but I'll start with you, Foos. Where do you feel like you have improved individually as a basketball
player? Besides three-pointers.
Well, I feel like, for example, last year, Ali Tamiela had to pass, you know. I just feel like I'm finding a way to like, add that to my game. I feel like I've been improving a lot through that, you know, like just be able to pass, you know, a little bit, you know.
Love that. Okay, sharing is caring, for sure.
Trevin, I love that.
Because Trevin's going to be in the corner when you best him, right? Yeah.
Oh, we just need a passing celebration, like pick up a dime or something like that every single time Foos passes it. For me, the thing that I've been working a ton on is just my footwork. So getting shots off faster, getting more on balance when I come off screens. Coach Young is a mastermind with plays, and so there's a ton of plays where I'm coming off screens or doing something, setting a screen, coming back off. So trying to get my feet set as quick as possible to get the shot off faster is definitely the main thing I've worked on.
Okay, people are stoked about this year, obviously, for a million reasons. There was a time where we didn't know what was going to happen, right, when Mark Pope left to Kentucky. Here we are with Kevin Young and a new staff, and Yegor Damon, Kenan Ketchings, KBK, all these guys. What are you most excited about for this season?
Man, I'm just super excited about everything, you know. Like we actually got a lot of good players, you know, like good players, you know. They just know almost everybody know how to play, you know. So I just think we're just going to go make a lot of noise, you know.
Do we have a nickname for the Molly boys?
No, yeah, we haven't talked about that, but we might.
We need a nickname. Someone will come up with it.
Yeah.
Awesome. What are you excited about?
Yeah, I'm excited first to just see the freshman's face when they walk into the Mary Center. It's packed, and they see the Rocks start doing the power. You know, I think that's something super unique. They see it on the football field, but it's not the same when the lights are off and, you know, the Rock is just right in front of you. So that's something I'm super pumped for. Like you said, there's a lot of, you know, hype around, you know, what's going to happen this year. So it's going to be fun, like Foos said, to make some noise, prove a lot of people wrong. A lot of people still doubt us. So it's going to be fun to prove them wrong and just play with these guys that we've played so hard throughout the summer and, you know, this second training camp that we've been through. So it's going to be fun to play someone that's not. Has BYU across their chest.
And knows the plays.
And knows the exact same play as soon as you walk down the court.
Weird. Like, you can't get your shot off, Trevin, because he knows where you're going.
Exactly. So it's going to be fun. Everybody's going to scout us, but it's definitely different when you play somebody every single day for 3 hours a day.
Sure. But by the way, I'm glad you got every single three-point miss out in the blue and white game.
I'm pumped. Everybody's kind of sent me a text. I was like, hey, we're good. This is a blue and white game. Yes. I'm fine.
It's going to be fine.
Actually, I couldn't believe it because on practice, he barely missed.
Right?
Sometimes he doesn't even miss in practice.
I know.
It's actually crazy.
I was a little nervous for how many people were there, to be honest. I was like, whoa.
People are excited.
I didn't know this was going to be like a full game.
It's going to be just fun.
Hey, let's give BYU Sports Nation karma to both of you to get through this day and
can't believe it. But
they're just here for a couple hours and then go home.
November 5th is right around the corner. Game number one.
Hey, Colorado Christian next week.
I know there's an exhibition. The real game, November 5th. Hey, that's also
Central
soon.
Central Arkansas.
Best of luck to both of you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay, check out the latest Deep Blue podcast featuring former tight end and Super Bowl champion and now BYU Hall of Famer, head coach Brian Billick, as he looks back on the 74 season in the Fiesta Bowl, playing for Lavelle Edwards and winning a Super Bowl. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
After the break, ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham joins us in Kansas City. And like only Sean can, discusses expectations for BYU men's basketball. You don't want to miss it. This is BYUSN.
I mean, every single time you go outside of this facility, I feel like there's another person saying, I can't wait for the season to start. I can't wait to see you guys out.
I think every guy we have out there could contribute, to be honest with you. But...
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live from Big 12 Basketball Media Days at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. Earlier this morning, the always entertaining and very exuberant Sean Farnham of ESPN joined us to discuss realistic expectations for the Cougars in year two of their Big 12 campaign and what he expects from Kevin Young in year one in his Provo tenure. Sean, to say that BYU looks a little bit different than last year is a massive understatement. New head coach, totally revamped roster, but some core pieces back for sure. What's your overall perception of BYU basketball as they enter year two of Big 12 play?
They've changed as much as your biceps. Dude, what have you been doing in the offseason? Like, I walked in, I was like, my man's jacked. Like, you hit Orange Theory every day or something like that?
Creatine is CrossFit? Back.
I wish, man. Four kids at home, so it's...
Just curling one at a time in each arm?
Like, something like
shoulder
that.
Shoulder pressing all day long? You're like, come on, I got them.
All the grocery bags.
Impressive. Yeah. No, look, obviously a great deal of change. And I think it should be a change of excitement. For BYU. I think Coach Young comes in and inherits a program that was in a really good position. You know, I love Coach Pope. I saw him last week at SEC Media Day. Big old hug, big old embrace. Very happy for him to go back to his alma mater and have a chance to be the leader of Kentucky basketball. But with that being said, what Coach Young has already done is create an excitement and expand the brand of BYU. So as this team sits there now today, and obviously eligibility issues are very important to this group right now with Igor and how that plays out as far as amateurism status goes. But I'm really excited about the direction of BYU basketball. And I think that this team has a chip on their shoulder again. And I think any time a BYU team has a chip on their shoulder, you better pay attention to them, because if you don't, they're going to beat you.
Ask the football team this year.
How are they doing?
Perfect.
Hey, truth be told, last Saturday I was like, it's all coming to an end. Oh, hey, they scored.
That was Cougar Nation, yeah, in a nutshell. Expectations are interesting because BYU signed its greatest class ever,
yep,
numerically, and you have projected NBA guys on the roster, which BYU doesn't typically have. Yet you got a first-year head coach who is lauded from the NBA. So how do you kind of balance the got some talented freshmen, good core of returners, Kata's nice out of the portal as well, and a first-year college coach. Yet expectations seem to be high, and in this league, picked ninth is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good because of the depth of this league. I think the two best conferences in college basketball this year are the Big 12 and the SEC. And I think the early AP top 25 shows you that those are the two best conferences in the country. SEC, I think, has 9 teams in the top 25. I think the Big 12 has 7 teams that are in the top 25. I mean, that's a crazy, ridiculous number for
two conferences. We just care about Ned here.
I understand. Here's the thing. I think what Coach Young brings. College basketball has changed so dramatically. It's why we continue to see coaches step away. Most recently, Tony Bennett from Virginia, right? And this is not what I signed up for. This is not what we did. This is not how we did it. Now I don't understand how we have, you know, like, yeah. It's just an unwillingness or just a frustration with the amount of change that we've seen in the college basketball landscape. Here's what you don't have with Coach Young. Frustration about the college basketball landscape. Like, he understands, okay, roster turnover is going to be real. If you have a great program, you're probably losing 2 players. If you have an okay program that has an okay year, you're probably losing 3. If you're not very good, you're probably losing half your team.
That's wild.
That's just a reality, and that's the portal marketplace that we're in. There also becomes the financial aspect of it now with name, image, and likeness and collectives and how that all puts together. Well, when you talk about financial and you talk about collectives and you talk about basically salary, even though we're not going to call it salary because they're not employees, what we're looking at is basically a professionalized model of college basketball. When you have a coach that's operated in the professional space, they understand that a lot better than a lot of people that have been in this system for a very long period of time. And also, when you're coaching 82 games over the course of an NBA season and you have a very limited time to really hit the practice floor hard, and then all of a sudden you're playing games and you're having to play a game, off night, travel, all this other stuff, and you're traveling across country, there's various ways that you can go about scheduling your practice schedule and your recovery time that puts your players at the best advantage. Many college coaches don't know that. You talk to a lot of college coaches and they're like, I spent most of my offseason calling NBA coaches to try to figure out what we should do for travel. BYU doesn't have to worry about that. So it's a long roundabout answer to your question, but I think that what Coach Young brings to the table actually works better in today's college basketball world than it probably would have 5 years ago in the college basketball world. And for that reason alone, he's able to go out and say, roster construction, what are the pieces I need? How do they fit? And I think one of the big things when it comes to roster construction for me, for a lot of these coaches right now, is it's not just, oh, how many points per game did they average at their last stop? That's irrelevant, to be honest with you. What it matters is how do they fit or fill a need or hole that is in your roster. And if you fill that hole and that player is able to expand their confidence or expand their game because of how you can coach and their effort is at a high sustained level, then all of a sudden now your team gets better a lot quicker. And I think that's one of the things that we miss when we look at portaling and numbers and things like that. Freshmen are important. All right, and they will continue to be important. I think we've overly devalued freshmen in college basketball right now. But you need it. Why do you need it? Because those are the backbones of your program. Hopefully, you're able to retain those players as they get older, and they understand the culture of what it means to wear the uniform. In your case, BYU. What does it mean to represent that student body? What does it mean to represent that university? What is it like when we take the floor? What does Coach Young demand out of us? Those are the ones that will be able to help even the older transfers as they come in over time, if you're able to retain them as they continue to grow. And I think that's really important. And the best program in the country, UConn, over the last couple of years, have retained a lot of their players.
Yeah.
So they add pieces and they go out and they get transfers that fit what their needs are. But they've been able to go out and recruit freshmen. They've been able to go out and retain freshmen. They've been able to retain some of their upperclassmen. You don't see a lot of guys leaving there. And it's easy when you're really good and you win back-to-back national champions to do that. But I think that's the mantra. Look at Houston in this conference. Really sustainable success. Why? Carry over from year to year. And I think that in year one for Coach Young is probably going to be the most important thing.
It was big, and we've talked about that in the offseason. You had to keep Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Foose and Trevin Nell. And Evan Mayakawa said, basically, the best teams in the country retain at least 50%. Like, yep. The higher, the better. You're off the next year.
Sure. Dawson Baker is another core piece that BYU is excited to get healthy and have come back. But as you mentioned, still a lot of change. Kevin Young brings in some high-profile guys. So what's a fair expectation for BYU? Because while there is some core pieces, again, there's still so much newness. So how patient should BYU fans be with this team in this conference?
Here, let me just send them off. Not patient at all. They should expect the moon and the stars right now. That's what I demand, Cougar board.
People are
all
excited.
Here's the deal. You could finish ninth in the Big 12 this year and be a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament.
Which is wild.
Think about that. Like, you could be a sixth seed. You're wearing a home color uniform in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that the opportunities are going to be plentiful here. There's a couple things I think that are going to be, without question, very true for that middle that top of the top half and that top of the bottom half of the conference. What's going to separate those teams from 12, 9, 5 is going to be consistency. And the consistency, what I mean is this: consistency in your mental approach. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to lose three games in a row in this conference.
It happens.
Everybody will experience it. But does three turn into six? How many games on the road can you win? Can you protect your home floor, right? Like, if you protect your home floor, you put yourself in a really good position. If you split on the road, you're outstanding in this conference. If you win one out of three on the road, you're probably pretty good still.
But if every time you leave, you're taking a loss, that's a problem. And the grind of this conference just got more difficult this year. You know, you look at how this conference played out and played out last year. Now, all of a sudden, okay, you're going to add in Utah and Colorado. Okay, fine. They both, you know, are struggling a little bit right now as far as looking up and trying to build back. Tad lost an awful lot from last year. Three guys that ended up getting drafted in the NBA. But then you go down to the desert and you look at Arizona State and Arizona. Arizona is an elite level college basketball team. They've got a first team All-American back in Caleb Love. All right, Arizona State is reloaded. A lot of excitement, a very talented freshman that you know they're going to play extremely hard for Coach Hurley. That becomes a very difficult road trip for everybody in this conference. So a conference that already was really super strong, you just added two teams that this year in particular are really good, one that's been great and one of the best teams in college basketball for a better part of the last 30 years of college basketball, and you've added that into a mix of a conference that has for 9 out of the last 11 years, I believe, been finished the season ranked as the number one conference in all of college basketball. So it is a gauntlet, and so therefore what I would say is this, unless you're you know, at the top of this conference and you're Kansas and you're Houston and you're Iowa State and you're Baylor, those teams all ranked in the top 10. I think everybody else is going to be fighting all season long. And so I think the expectation level should be is how well does this team compete night in and night out? When they take a loss, does that game impact how they play the next game? Or do they come back out, flush it, and just go, hey, we're going to go ahead and our effort is not going to decrease game after game after game. And I think if that happens, you'll end up being very happy with where this team will end up at the end of the year.
Great stuff. And I'm glad you brought up the Phoenix road trip because BYU hosts Kansas. Then they play at Arizona and at Arizona State. That's quite a three-game stretch. Yeah. Sean, always great to have you with us. So glad you're at Big 12 Media Days. Thanks for the time.
I heard last year when you guys were here, you guys brought Cougar Tail. And that's what I walked in and they literally said to me, hey, we got snacks. And I turned around expecting to see that delicious box that doesn't smear the maple. You know, the box. I love the box. And I'm looking and I'm like, it's not here. I got a protein bar, which now looking at your arms, I understand why we're just pounding protein bars in the back. But glad to see you missed your workout program this summer.
And mental fortitude and punctuality. Yeah,
a lot of reading this summer for you. Is that it? Just turning the page. Just turning the page.
Thanks
good to be back.
On, I think. Yeah. See it throughout the season, by the way. More hits with Sean later. Okay, if you missed any of our interviews or coverage or more Sean Farnham, you can go to our YouTube channel or BYUSN.com.
BYU football, back to being an underdog. In spite of being 7-0, why do you think this is at UCF? We'll discuss it next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio app. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day, why do all of you think BYU is still an underdog at UCF in spite of being 7-0 and ranked number 11 in the country? At Brooke_Eva_25 on Instagram.
Eva!
Long travel, great run game, and BYU couldn't stop it last week against Oklahoma State. Tough environment, she adds.
The bounce house, PTSD from 2014, the BYU loss in overtime, still think it was a pass interference against Jordan, the defender who guarded Jordan.
Still have a difficult time digesting that. Jay Beings 3 on X says, because they don't yet believe. That's why BYU's only ranked number 11 in the country despite being 7-0 with two big wins over currently ranked opponents. East Coast Day game, it's time to make them believe.
You got to make, as they've said, statements every week. Make another one.
Statement number 8, our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from BF Webster on X, who says, because the polls in Las Vegas just don't believe BYU is real. And I'm fine with that. I very much want the team to stay hashtag hungry and humble.
It's easy to get up for the game when you're like, hey, so-and-so
still the underdog.
Doesn't believe still.
Mm-hmm. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yeah, great to be here in Kansas City. Looking forward to a full, luscious day of conversation with coaches and players throughout. So it's going to be fun, man.
It takes a healthy crew to pull off what we do.
That's why we have
Kansas City.
Uncrustables over there.
Yeah, not to mention the snack table that they set up. They come in here a day before, get all the lights set up, everything set up behind us, make it look great. So our crew deserves a huge shout-out for sure. Our thanks to today's guests, BYU head coach Kevin Young, his players Fush Traore and Trevin Nell, and ESPN's Sean Farnham.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to the sharpshooter Andy Toulson. Go Cougs. Andy could shoot it.
Oh, he could shoot.
Great three-point shooter.
Let's go get us some Old Trapper beef jerky out there on the court.
I hope they have some left.